This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Pamela. It's Margie.
Hi, Pamela. It's Jean-Baptiste.
Bonjour, Jean-Baptiste. Good morning, everybody else. Sorry. Took me a moment to unmute. Oh, bonjour, Alice. Or what do we say in the afternoon? What was the greeting?
Bonjour is fine. Perfect.
Bonjour. Okay.
We're having a nice day here in Brussels.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Margie, did Mark finally catch up with you?
Yes, he did. He showed up Sunday. So we had some time in Dubrovnik. And he's here in Brussels, so it's good, all's well.
He got to see his Game of Thrones site.
He did. He was so happy. They actually have Game of Thrones tours, and so we didn't pay for one, but we followed around a lady who was telling talking about all the different scenes they'd filmed everywhere. So
very nice. I'm sure he was thrilled beyond all possible comprehension.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty happy. He posted pictures on Facebook, and all his friends were jealous. So.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Carlos is on that.
Carlos is on. Hello, Carlos.
Hi, Carlos.
Margie, I am hearing you just fine, but do you want me to enable a mic for you at all? For any reason?
No. No. Okay. I mean, I'll raise my hand if I want to say something.
Great.
But we're on a phone. We're on a phone bridge in the Brussels office. So.
Perfect. And the cat says good morning.
Your cat is so polite.
Well, she's either 16 or 17 years old, and she.
Wow.
She's blind now, and so when she cries out, she's sounding. So she doesn't run into things. I know that, and she does sound grumpy. She's always been grumpy. That's her way, but that's okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hello, one and all. I guess I don't need a mic, Pam, because I have my computer screen on, but I'm talking through the phone.
Oh, okay. All right. I just know occasionally there are phone issues, so I'll disable it, and if we need it again, then we'll re-enable it.
Perfect.
Lorraine, this is Alice. Drew will be 10 minutes late into the call, just letting you know.
Oh, okay.
Set a prior commitment. You'll be joining, though.
Good. And I got a note from David Taylor, who is a maybe.
Okay.
Also, Lorraine, I already have the recording queued, so just let me know when you want me to unpause it. Please.
Great. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Pam. Does anyone know how Antonetta's doing, if her leg is doing better?
I have this is Aliza. She's doing better. She's home. She's resting.
Good.
Yay.
David, I see you've joined. I'm giving you a special welcome because I know you're just traveling and now it's very, very early in the morning for you. So thank you. We will give a few more minutes for folks to join, and then we'll get started. So I see there's a name that I don't know, which is Jean-Baptiste de Roulet. Is that an observer or is that a staff person? I'm just.
Hi, Lorraine, this is Alice. Jean-Baptiste has started with us yesterday, so he's our new MSSI recruit and will be helping on the CCT project. So, Jean-Baptiste, if you want to say a few words.
Sure. Hello, good afternoon. I'm Jean-Baptiste. It's okay if you can pronounce my name. It's always an issue. But yeah, as Alice mentioned, I'm really happy to have joined the ICANN family yesterday, and I'll do my best to help the team.
That's great. Welcome aboard, Jean-Baptiste. Maybe you can pronounce your last name for me so that I know the right way to pronounce it.
Okay, it's De Roulet.
De Roulet.
Yeah.
That's not bad, Lorraine.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's okay. Hopefully I will not massacre it too much. Great. Welcome, Calvin and Hal and Carlos, who I know is also traveling. Looks like Carlos is having some sound problems. Thank you. Okay, we'll give it one more minute.
Hi, everybody. David here. I made it onto voice.
Yay. Okay. Well, that is...
I was just trying to avoid using my French mobile from America, because even a dial back, I think last time I got the bill, it was about $80 or $100 for the call. So I'm trying to figure out how to dial it and speak without going via the telecoms and paying French and U.S. charges, but I haven't figured that out yet.
So I think there's a way to do it via your computer, but
I'm in the computer, but I can't. Yeah, I've got my I've got the voice on the speaker, but it's not.
It's not working that well.
I'm not sure how to do it.
Maybe connect with who would be the best person for David to connect with regarding these technical issues, so that it's easier for him to join without undue expense. Would that be Pam?
Yes, if you could send an email to Brenda and Pam.
Okay. So David. Yeah, connect with Brenda and Pam, because we should be able to figure out a way for you to do that without making it more difficult or expensive.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out, because I'm on Adobe, so I'm in that fine, and I've put both green, the microphone and the sound's green, but I don't know why I can't speak. It doesn't give me an option to speak via Adobe, you know, when you connect up. It says, do you want to be dialed back or do you want to dial in? But you don't have an option. Do you just want to go via Adobe? Oh, Pamela's helping me here.
Yeah, Brenda and Pam will walk you through it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you the US. I'll give you the hotel number, and they'll call me back. That'd be good. Carry on.
We can start the tape, Pam. Okay. So first of all, thanks everyone. Thanks everyone for the very productive session in Vienna. I thought we made a lot of progress, both to organizing our discussion paper topics in something that is more of a narrative, or more supportive of a narrative, a logical narrative, and also making sure that our topics and sub-questions, really fit squarely within our mandate. And following the meeting, I have taken a stab with the document on the screen, which I think we all have independent scroll rights to thinking about where our current discussion papers fit within those topics. So I thought that we could spend the first part of our call making sure we know where things fit in, and also making sure that if there is any additional gaps that need to be filled in regarding this new organization that we're aware of, who's going to be doing what. So I thought we can start off that way. And what I did is it struck me that the teams of three We're not working especially well, although folks can jump in if they disagree with my observation. But it struck me that the teams of three were not working especially well and that people were finding it challenging to communicate with each other. And I thought one way we could address that is to pair up instead of having teams of three. So I took a stab at trying to do that based on the existing work that's already been done. I'm not wanting to have people not be attached to the work they've already done. So maybe if folks can scroll down, I thought we could have a discussion, at least with the people who are on the call. I know we have some people who are absent. But for the people who are on the call, a discussion of where existing work fits in within this narrative. So folks scroll down to page 4. You'll see that there is a refined discussion paper topics. This reflects the work we did in Vienna. And then I expanded on it a little bit to start to incorporate our existing discussion paper topics. So on page 4, hopefully everyone is there. Okay, good. Carlton, I see you've joined us. Welcome. Welcome temporarily, it looks. So you'll see we're on page 4 of the paper on this screen. You'll see our first topic is, has the new GTLD program put mechanisms in place to improve trustworthiness in the DNS? And this really draws from elements of almost all of our discussion papers. So what I envision ultimately is that everyone's discussion paper that introduces these mechanisms, so that would be technical safeguards, GAC safeguards, and voluntary public interest commitments, as well as rights protection mechanisms. I see those papers including some sort of background description of what it is we're talking about, i.e., what are the technical safeguards? What are the GAC safeguards? What are the rights protection mechanisms? And I think most of that work actually has already been done, but I just flag that. So to the extent your discussion paper doesn't include sort of a description, a foundation for the issues discussed, you should include that. That actually should be one of the easier things to include. So in terms of responsibilities, Calvin has taken on the technical safeguards. I've taken on the safeguards applicable to all GTLDs and sensitive, highly regulated GTLDs. And we haven't, although we flagged the voluntary public interest commitments as an issue, we haven't developed that in detail yet. And that's going to be the subject of an updated request that I think the sub-team is going to work on, perhaps with the assistance of staff, regarding the voluntary picks. Jamie isn't on the call, but I have I have volunteered him to work with me on the voluntary public interest commitment. And And Henrietta, where are we on including the voluntary public interest commitments on our chart?
Hi, Lorraine. So I'm working on that, and I should have that to you by tomorrow.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. Because that'll help. I think that will, once we have that chart, I think that will help us formulate the industry topics that we want to delve into to try and chat with people about the public interest commitments, and then also at a first level, it will help us identify who we may need to chat with in terms of the public interest commitments themselves. Do you have a sense, Antonietta, now of how many different registries included voluntary public interest commitments?
So I have not much has changed on the table that I've been working on. I've included the top 30 registries that included the voluntary public interest commitments. And with regard to the ones that were Category 1 safeguards, all those that were delegated included the public interest commitments. Voluntary ones.
So in terms of that chart, we're just doing the top 30. We're not doing a comprehensive.
Correct. As far as I know. Mm-hmm.
And do we have a sense, though, if we were to try and capture all the public interest commitments, what the volume would be of that?
Yes, they're about 500.
Okay, so there are quite a number. Okay, so the top 30 seems like a sensible way to go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's good that we'll have that tomorrow. In terms of rights protection mechanisms, David, you had taken the lead on that. And I know Carlton had also done some existing work on that, which is why I've paired you up for the background description, because I know Carlton actually had done a draft discussion paper that included a lot of information on that. So in terms of refining, incorporating that, I thought it would be good for you both to get together to make sure that Carlton's existing work describing those mechanisms, that's something, David, you can review and incorporate into your discussion paper. Does that make sense?
Yep, that makes perfect sense. Thanks.
Great. So I think in terms of the question, in terms of question one, I think actually it's pretty clear how our discussion papers fit in. For discussion paper two, for topic two, that's where things get a little more interwoven. So for our topic two, we had, has the new GTLD program put sufficient mechanisms in place to mitigate risks to the trustworthiness of the DNS? So our first topic there would be, have the safeguards and rights protection mechanisms been fully implemented? So that's going to divide up into two topics, safeguards, and again, Calvin and I have taken the lead on the implementation issues regarding safeguards, dividing up into GAC safeguards and technical safeguards. And David has taken the lead on the rights protection mechanisms, and I know Carlton was also interested in that. So, and I know also that the data, basically we don't have much data for that yet. So what I would ask David and Carlton to do is, and what I'd like the group to do, actually, if we have time at the end of this call, is to take a look at David's questions that have been identified that we didn't get a chance to go through in Vienna, and make sure that those fit within our mandates, and also if we have any comments or questions. So once we get through with this, I think we will turn to David's sub-questions, which are also in this document. Which are also at the end of this document, so we can take a look at that. And then after we have implementation, we go to, which is the process, we go to compliance. Fabro, who's not on the call, has a discussion paper in progress on whether there's been compliance with the safeguards. And this, I believe, this is very ICANN compliance focused in terms of data. So this is going to be one of the issues that needs to be identified as something to work on with staff to communicate with ICANN compliance to get the information that's needed there. With the rights protection mechanisms, David, I know you're going to be expecting data from INTA and that study. And David and Carlton, are there any other data sources that you think you can turn to within ICANN or someplace else where you think you're going to need data about compliance with the rights protection mechanisms? I think we had started to touch a little bit on that in Vienna, but I wanted to flesh that out a little bit.
Well, David here, yeah, I mean, I do have a question. Is I don't know whether compliance has got data on whether any registries haven't implemented, you know, the clearinghouse or the URS or any complaints about them not being able to use it or something like that. I mean, I'm not aware of any data, but there could well be some data, but I don't know whether anyone's actually been looking at that or whether it's been reported.
So can we put that as an action item?
So I don't know where to look.
Yeah. Can we put that as an action item for staff to identify whether there is ICANN compliance data on rights protection mechanisms and to communicate with David about that?
Lorraine, this is Aliza. We need something a little bit more specific than that. There is data on rights protection mechanisms, and we report on our CCT metrics page complaints about UDRPs and URSs that are made to ICANN. I'm just wondering what else specifically would you be interested in? Because it makes when we present them with broad topics like that, it's really difficult for the team to narrow down on what you're really interested in.
Well, it sounds to me,
Aliza, is that
Go ahead, David.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say. Yeah, thanks. I was going to say is the obviously there's data about the number of URS complaints that have been filed, etc. That we can find, but I was thinking more, is there data whether the URS has failed or people have complained about it to ICANN or it hasn't been implemented. I don't know whether there's that sort of data anywhere.
We do have that. We have that published on this page. I'll put the link in the chat right now.
Oh, good. Okay.
We have the number of complaints about UDRP and URS decisions that are made to ICANN.
Okay.
And Aliza, is it possible also to, and you may have done this already, but if we don't have this on our wiki page in terms of data that relates to the rights protection mechanisms, can we put it there? Can we put a link there so that when David is looking at the data sources, he knows that that's an easy place to find it?
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure it is there, but we'll double check, of course, and let the list know.
That's fine. I just want to make sure that it's clear where everything is living.
And I just put in a second link that's all of the data we have on the from compliance that we're tracking for the recommended CCT metrics. So hopefully that will be useful to you as well.
That's great.
So that is great, Aliza. I'm just looking at the data there, which you've posted, and the, for instance, the on the page 1.9b combined UDRP and URS complaints to ICANN. So, for instance, I see there was 19 URS complaints to ICANN in 2014 and 27 URS complaints to ICANN in 2015. How do we find out what those are? What were they complaining about?
So I'm not sure that we can report on the specifics about the complaints themselves, the individual complaints.
Right.
I'm fairly certain I can't share that. I can double check on that.
But
just trying to figure out what we do with that data.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Aliza. I realize that you can't reveal identities, but maybe we could find out what would be most useful for David in terms of what can be revealed. So even if it's not identity, if there's a general subject matter of the complaint, that still might be useful to know. I'm not well versed enough in what types of disputes typically come up in these proceedings, but I would speculate that it might fall within three or four typical buckets, and it might be useful for David to know the number of complaints that fell into which particular bucket. What type of information do you think would be useful to know, David? Realizing the confidentiality.
Obviously the data where we can see the number of complaints filed, got that. That's absolutely fine because we know what's filed and what's replied to, et cetera, and then we've got decisions at the end of it. But I suppose for me, I'm picking those a little bit at random going in now, where we see the URS complaints. So somebody's complained about the URS to ICANN. So it's really, what's the complaint? Are they saying it doesn't work, it's too fast, it's too slow, is it an attempted appeal saying I've been, a bad decision against me and I want to appeal to you, ICANN? Is that counted as a complaint to ICANN? Because that, to me, gives us some sort of an idea of the issues which it might have. Which are being raised with ICANN, so I think that's quite pertinent to have that. I mean, obviously, no name basis, but that's the sort of data I think which would be good to get at.
I can certainly ask about that, and I can get back to you.
Yeah, that I think would be useful because it seems to me there would be a generic way to get that information out that that would put some meat on the bones of any analysis and recommendations we make, and that sort of thing, knowing how many people complained that it was too slow or how many people complained that it didn't work, that doesn't strike me as something that would infringe on confidentiality. That's sort of generic to me. So if you and David can work through the best way to get that information, that would be great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, good. Okay. So again, we're We are at the, have the new GTLD operators complied with safeguards and rights protection mechanisms. I think that Aliza, Fabro is going to probably want to have a discussion, with compliance about information he may need, or he also just may need some guidance on where this information lives. So can I make it an action item, Aliza, for you to connect with Fabro to make sure he knows where the information is and to chat with him about whether there's anything further that he needs? I just want to make sure that he is aware of the data source for a lot of this information, and that if there are additional information needs he has, that we can develop those as soon as possible.
Sure, happy to.
Okay.
This is Drew. I just want to chime in real quick. I sent Fabro an email when we were in Vienna, that hopefully will give him a little insight into that, because it was from a request I put in much earlier in the summer, maybe in June or something. And so there's at least some responses. I think Brian ultimately helped me kind of hunt down some of the answers when I wasn't getting replies. But there's some information in there about which statistics may exist, may not exist, and who might have them. So I did send him that last week. So I'll have a little start for that conversation with you and with Aliza, you and Fabro.
Maybe you can forward that to Aliza also, just so she has a common starting point, so to speak.
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
Perfect. Can we help? Is there any help we can give to Sal so that she's not having trouble hearing us? I don't know if that's a technical issue or not, but I see her comment in the chat. Okay. Bum, 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 bum. And also, okay, so then we move into the topic that, then we move into Drew's topic, the impact of the new safeguards on DNS abuse. And I know Calvin has also focused on the technical safeguards. And Calvin, jump in anytime if you have any questions or comments.
I will.
So I think the big issue here, Drew, is going to be making sure we can move forward with getting the information we need. Do you have any updates that you want to give? I know a lot of time hasn't gone by since Vienna, but now would be the time just to give us a sense of give the group a sense of what our plan is to move forward.
My top priority right now, what I started working on last week, but I've not finished yet, is trying to come up with a definition of DNS abuse for purposes of this review, but then also figure out how to incorporate some of these other topics that might not fall into the definition of DNS abuse, because I want to keep the definition of DNS abuse into something that is quantifiable and will be measurable for our purposes of our study. But then there are so many of those other things we talked about in terms of brand infringement and whatnot, I think Carlton and Carlos were bringing up, that I want to make sure we're covering those topics too, even if we're coming up with maybe, I don't know, two separate definitions or something. So that, I think, is step one, is defining it. And then a lot of this, a lot of the data for this question would come from that abuse study where you're seeing correlation, and then you can start looking at the correlation between safeguards and registries and abuse. And so, I guess prior to that, I don't know if, Aliza, you might be able to chime in if there's any other data you could think of that might be interesting for me that I may have forgotten about. It's out there from ICANN on this topic.
On the abuse topic, though, I mean, I think you've covered everything. I think we're, you know, aiming to have it all covered by whatever comes out of this RFP.
Okay. And then Calvin, yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, my thoughts are that we need to confine ourselves into the ecosystem of which we're on topic, and that's the registrar environment rather than the whole internet environment. So mainly, I guess what I'm saying is that we want to look at DNS abuse by registrants, registrars, and registries rather than just general DNS abuse, because if we go to general DNS abuse, then we're heading down a slippery slope, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, very good point. I'll try to circulate something this week.
Yeah. So my thinking is if you're going to write something up, then having it, keeping it to registrants, registries, and registrars, because, I mean, that's really what's in our purview, I think.
I agree. I think that's a great point.
And just to tie this then to the request for proposals that I know is going to be reconfigured a little bit, but in terms of the data we're seeking to get with the zone files, does that focus on the players, Drew, that Calvin is identifying? I.e., is that going to tell you about abuse at the registry, registrar, and registrant level?
Yes, that will. And then an outstanding question would be then, or just another factor that I'm hoping that the vendor would identify and we'll know more as we go forward, would be also the reseller factor, just because hopefully our data would be indicative of all of these things, but then there could be the potential that, there's a bunch of abusive domains, and resellers were actually in charge of registering the registrants for those domain names, and so we would need that reflected in our analysis, even if we're not going to, say much more than that about the resellers. We'd probably want to be able to at least analytically separate that from the registrars in certain situations. Otherwise, we'd be, putting everything under the umbrella of a registrar. But yes, but we'd only fit everything into that. And so then the question would be, which types of abuse data the vendor can get a hold of? Is it going to be, is it going to be phishing sites and botnets? What's that going to be? So that's where us defining the scope in advance will be helpful for that discussion.
So just to make sure I have my brain around this, so what I hear you saying is that resellers is also a separate but related category, but I'm not clear whether that's something you're going to be able to get data on.
Right. So we it's definitely technically possible in terms of, once we better understand the vendor, they should be able to do that. And that was something in the RFP. But just in terms of talking about this framework we're looking at, registries, registrars, and registrants, that would be another R word that would fit into that would also be tied to a bunch of these registrations.
And that would fall under the registrar bucket? So it would be a sub-bucket, so to speak?
It'd be a sub-bucket of that, and so the resellers have no direct contractual relationship with ICANN, but they would have a relationship with the registrars. And so that would be just definitely a dynamic that would be important enough for us to at least reference as we're looking at the data.
Calvin, I think I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yes, no, that's fine. Sorry, good that you put that on the resellers as well, because if they can be looked at, they should be looked at.
Okay. So I think for your purposes, Calvin and Drew, since a lot of the data that you're looking at isn't going to be ready by Hyderabad, what I would also encourage you both to look at is to make sure that you've looked at what's available on the ICANN compliance data that does exist, because I know that there is data there that you could use for some findings that relate to your questions in terms of the number of complaints, the complaint categories. So I just want to make sure that even though you don't have what's probably going to be your most crucial body of data, that you are looking at the ICANN compliance data that exists now, because you certainly could use that as some pertinent findings, because at the very least you'll have certain complaint categories. And similar to the discussion that Aliza is having with ICANN compliance and David, if you both, after looking at the ICANN compliance data, feel it would be useful to have any further information, realizing the confidentiality issues, you're probably only going to be able to get generic information. But if you have a need for further information, we are wanting to get that identified no later than next week on the 14th. So what I would encourage you to do is look at the ICANN compliance data now, so that if you need to formulate any other requests, that's done as soon as possible. Does that make sense?
Yep. That makes sense, definitely. I'll look at that.
Yeah. Yep.
And Calvin, does that make sense to you also for the technical safeguards? I know that actually there is data on that in ICANN compliance about complaints regarding some of those safeguards.
Yeah, so it makes sense to me.
So again, if you're having trouble figuring out where this information is, please reach out to Aliza, who is our valued and indispensable guide here, and I know Antonietta is also working on these issues. Okay, so I see that David has to drop off shortly. So should we take a little bit of a detour then to look at David's rights protection mechanism questions? Those...
While I'm still on.
How much longer? So we have you for 15 more minutes, David?
No, you've got me for about 2 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'll start sweating because I've got to be somewhere else, but I could probably hang on for about 4 minutes after that, but go on.
Sure. Let's take a quick look. Let's take a quick look at page 10. Page 10 and 11 are the questions that David has identified as his questions that relate to the lead topic. Did the RPMs mitigate the risks involved with the expansion of the DTLG program. And that's including whether the dispute resolution processes reduced trademark infringement. So let's just take a quick look at this. And now is the time for feedback for David, and I'll open this up to the group. And Calvin, I see you have a hand up. I don't know, is that a present hand or an old hand?
That's an old hand. I'll take it down now.
Okay. I'm wondering, David, on 6H, what other enforcement measures were taken? Is that the sort of data that you expect to find in through your INTA work, through your INTA study work? I'm wondering how you get
it. It's something that would be. Yeah, and absolutely, it's something which we'd hope to get in the INTA study. Certainly, to see what else people are doing, and then it's not something that's centrally located, because I mean, it's interesting. You look at a UDRP being filed, WIPO, for instance, doesn't track the number of UDRPs that are appealed, so they don't actually know unless they've been given notification of an appeal. So some of these things do go off, and you know, things progress. So it's actually trying to get that sort of data, which is going to be anecdotal to a large extent, because the INTA is going to sort of be asking all of the members, have you done this, and how many times have you done this? So we'll have hopefully some data on that, but it's hard to get it precise, I think.
And is the same thing true for I, that your INTA study will hope to get an answer to that specific question about increased enforcement costs, or the potential for increased enforcement
costs?
Yes. Now
that's a specific question in there to try and get the brand owners to come out with that. So yeah. And that the question, so you've got it there, question J, type of abuse is prevalent? That's something, again, which is a question in there. So they're being asked that, which is where it was interesting. It obviously touches on other areas of ours, but whether the brand owners are looking and seeing those sort of things as well for the brands.
And is the PDDRP, what does that stand for? You're not talking about the PICDRP, you're talking about something else.
No, that's essentially the trademark PDDRP, which hasn't been used as yet. So that should be an easy answer.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So is it fair to say that you...
And I think I had a... I was going to say to... I was going to let you know I had some good feedback from Jamie on this, because he was querying whether what if anything should be changed. My question I put in there, saying that's obviously moving more into the implementation and something we shouldn't necessarily be looking at, which I'd agree with him on that. It's not for us, I presume, to be saying what should be changed, but it was more of me trying to get some of these questions out as well to INTA, that we can, if we get suggestions in from various sources, we can at least report on these are suggestions that have been made, as opposed to us coming through and suggesting what should be changed.
And yeah, I think that's an excellent comment, to take that as feedback, but I think that's the right balance, that it's useful information to gather, and then that may go into a recommendation, but I agree with James' comment. Okay. And I see that this is mostly focused on trademark, which is, I assume, the focus of the rights protection mechanism. Was there anything on any other types of IP protections in these rights protection mechanisms? For instance,
well, there isn't. I mean, that's the copyright. Well, that's one of the questions which I think I was raised at Vienna as to how far we go and how we look at it, because, I mean, copywriting goes into content And there's quite a bit of discussion as to whether or not that should be included. And obviously we've had Steve Cocker and others say that it's outside the remit of ICANN. But, I mean, these essentially your trademark disputes, URS, the Trademark Clearing House, it's all trademark focused.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're probably having to stick with that. But we'll try and, you know, try and raise it in some sort of question, hopefully in the INTA one at least.
Right, and I guess so then go for looking down the road, we probably want to anticipate saying why we do, if we determine that copyright is outside scope, because it's been such a heated issue from time to time, we probably want to be able to have thought through how we, what the thinking is for it being out of scope, other than Steve Crocker saying it's out of scope. we want to have a logical, reasoned position for whatever conclusion we reach about it being in or out of scope. So I put that to you as someone who's thought about these issues, that we need a placeholder for that.
Yeah, we'll cover that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that you have to go, David. What I'm going to ask people is if they have any other feedback for David on these questions, to please communicate directly with him by email. And if anyone has any questions or comments now, now's the time, voice to voice, you can give them, although I'm not seeing any hands. Anyone? Okay. So, David, thanks for joining us. I know
that's okay. And just
today.
Thanks. Sorry. And just one thing before I do run. I pinged an item around trust in the domain name system by email to everybody, which I thought was a research paper. It's by the IDSG. So I circulated that on Friday.
Thank you.
Quite fresh data in it. If you do look at it from the 7th of March this year, and apparently they'd surveyed some 10,000 people. So it's trust in the internet, so it's right up our street. So I was quite pleased spotting that. But that was one of my questions, whether or not we shouldn't be considering doing something similar or follow-up to that. And I wondered whether the 14th of September deadline was something we should be looking at for that, or whether we should reach out to the IDS research to see if they're going to do another one, because it sounds like it's a useful paper. But, I mean, have a look at it. If I don't know anybody has had a chance to have a look at it and see whether the findings are helpful to us, but it seemed quite good to me.
That sounds good. So we have a group that actually is a great segue to getting back to our list, because there are several of us who are focused on the trust issues. So I will make that an action item for us. Thanks for reminding us. Let's scroll back. Thanks, David. Let's scroll back to we were on page 5. We had just finished with D. Did the new rights protection mechanisms mitigate the risks? Now for subtopic 3, have these efforts had an impact on public perception of the DNS? Carlton and Kao were focused on awareness. So to the extent that there needs to be any further refinements on the discussion paper on awareness, which I know Carlton submitted, and I'm not sure to what extent Kao had a chance to provide feedback on that. But Carlton and Kao, you should be working together for that topic. For the Express Trust in the new GTLD program, I will work with Carlos on that topic, and I'm gonna look at this paper, and Carlos, perhaps you can look at the paper also so that we can schedule a time to chat with that. And maybe under the action item that you just focused on, Alice, Can you add as an action item, Lorene and Carlos to discuss? You can put it under the the prior action item because it's all related to that trust in the domain name system paper. But Carlos, you and I perhaps can set up a time to discuss that and see if there's any follow-up that might be useful regarding that. On the validation issues, I thought that Sabro and I can focus on that, and I think that'll also connect with the voluntary picks. But I think the data for that is going to be in the Nielsen studies, and it's something that I need to pluck out and add to my discussion paper. Maybe we can add that as an action item, Alice, just for my organization, for LK and Fabro to focus on perceived value in the new innovations. And I would put in parentheses validation and registration restrictions.
Hi, Lorene. Could you repeat that for me, please?
Sure. Lorene and Fabro to add to consumer trust discussion paper perceived value. And I would just do add consumer trust paper perceived value in new innovations. E.g., registration restrictions, validation, and then I would add voluntary picks. And Drew, I thought you and I can focus on, and I think, again, this is in the same discussion paper, whether consumers perceive value in the risk mitigation initiatives, that we can discuss that. And again, I think the Nielsen study and perhaps this new discussion paper may have data on that. I think that's the other side of all the work you're doing. After collecting the data, is to see whether the objective data matches the subjective assessment by the public.
Yeah, I agree. Yep, it sounds good.
And then Hao, I thought that you can be, since you're looking at the Nielsen survey data already, that you also can look to see if there's data on this issue of confidence in implementation of the innovations and initiatives. I think this is really good, looking at the Nielsen survey, confidence in the implementation of the innovations and initiatives. So this is just a very isolated sub-question, but what would be good is to develop findings on that, and that can be added to the discussion paper that I've already drafted. This is just a separate sub-question, but you could add the sub-question and the findings, and once you have something in place, we can then put that into the existing consumer trust discussion paper that I have that is already on the wiki that I've developed.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Can everyone still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, Kyle. So you and I can connect on that. Maybe we can set up maybe as an action item. You and I can connect on how to best incorporate that. And then finally, I thought that Hao and Jamie can address this big picture topic about consumer trust in the DNS overall, and I believe that there is data on that in the Nielsen study, and perhaps this other survey that David has circulated. And can we add as an action item for Jamie and I to connect to make sure he understands what I'm asking him to work on? So these are my thoughts on how we go forward. But I'm very open to questions, comments, especially if people feel that they've been placed in something that doesn't build on their prior work. I've really tried to make sure that I've placed people on issues they've already worked on and issues that they've expressed interest on. But I am not perfect. I'm flawed like everyone else, so if I've gotten it wrong, or there's something that you want to be working on that you're not, now would be the time to chime in and let me know so that we can make sure that these people know exactly what they need to do going forward. Any questions or comments? Okay, I see that Alice has a question. Will Paris be using the Vienna Google Docs as a basis, or will they exchange documents using traditional email? For folks working with me, I need you to use traditional email because I don't have access to Google. I cannot access Google Docs easily at work. I actually have to change locations and go to a computer that's someplace else and away from everything that I normally work with, so it's not easy for me. So I will ask people to use traditional email. For everything else. I think it's okay to use the Google Docs, but I think you need to make sure you communicate with your partners about what you're doing, so that you're not duplicating efforts or creating unexpected confusion. So I'll ask people to communicate clearly with their partners. It's my hope that by streamlining the number of people you have to work with for finalizing these discussion papers, that makes things easier. Does this seem like a sensible way to proceed, to have streamlined these groups to just to pairs rather than larger groups? Thoughts, comments, agreements, disagreements?
This is Drew. Yeah, I think this should work out well. So that way then there's two people. They know exactly who the other one is and that they're depending on each other to get work done.
That is my intent, this should streamline it and let people communicate and depend on each other and put each other on the spot if need be. Okay. So what I want to do now is make sure that people have the opportunity to ask any questions they may have about this. I see Carlos, we don't work on the master document for the time being. I'm not sure I know what you mean by master document. If you mean master document, i.e. whatever document we're going to be producing for the public in Hyderabad, yes, you're correct. We are not working on that right now. What we are working on is the building blocks for that document, which are the discussion papers. So, okay, good. So I just wanted to make sure that I understood your question, and now it looks like I've understood and answered it. So, yes. Other questions or comments? So I think what I want to emphasize to folks is that, as I understand from Jonathan's comments, besides these questions, I think a lot of the focus in Hyderabad is going to be presenting our findings. So that's what I really want folks to focus on in their discussion papers. We are all at different states in terms of the data that's available. Some data is already in, particularly the Nielsen studies. There's a lot of compliance data. Those are things that are already, at the ready for us to use. So it's going to be really important in your discussion papers to make sure that you have looked at the data that's available and actually presented that as a finding. And please make sure that those findings map to a specific question, one of your specific questions, and that you are referencing the source of your data specifically. So if it's the Nielsen study, which is hundreds of pages long, you should pinpoint the site to the page of that study that you're getting your finding from. If it's ICANN compliance data, you should be specific about where you are finding that data. Often ICANN compliance has it organized by date. It's often on a specific page. Just be very specific about where you're finding that data so you don't have to figure out where you got it from at the back end, which will be a lot more difficult. Other questions and comments about this? I've set September 15th as the deadline for final discussion papers, and I say I've set, but actually that is the same date that the competition sub-team has as its deadline, so we're trying to harmonize there. So that is next week. That is next Thursday, I believe. So we've had a chance for a lot of discussion and questions. We've also had a chance to make sure that people know where to find the data. So folks need to make sure that they have these discussion papers ready to circulate by the 15th, because that's going to be the time where we are circulating these papers for discussion. So that's the deadline that we need to meet, because we have to produce something for Hyderabad, and this really is a key foundational step in that process. If you are not the lead drafter, and as we spoke in Vienna, everyone has different superpowers. Sometimes your superpower is to comment and ask questions and edit and refine. So if you're not the lead drafter, you still need to make sure you have the opportunity to improve the discussion papers. So please, please connect with your partners. Okay, so that's the discussion papers. The other topic that we've touched on that I want to make sure is very clear is to finalize all data requests by Wednesday. That's next Wednesday. So for those action items that involve any compliance-related issues, that needs to be articulated and communicated to ICANN staff, preferably in writing, not just over the phone, but if you have a conversation, then use a confirming email. That needs to be articulated by September 14th, so we have these things in place. Any questions about data requests? Questions or comments? Okay.
This is Drew. I was just going to say, what do you think the best way forward might be? Shouldn't we all be maybe for our papers and our partners, should we all be making sure we're checking in with each other just every Monday or something like that?
I think...
Just in case? Just in case?
Yes. Yes, I think we should be checking in with our partners at least because our discussion papers are going to be due by Thursday, I would advise everyone to, after this call, to set up at least two times to check in with your partner. And thereafter, probably on a weekly basis, just to set up a standing time to check in with your partner on these issues, so you make sure that you have the opportunity to discuss and transmit drafts. So can we add that as an action item for everyone to schedule schedule two times to check in with your partners between now and the 15th. And Alice, what is the best way to have accountability to you in terms of a final draft? Is it easier to send you a document? Is it easier for us to say, I've changed it on Google Docs, now it's final? What's the best way to make sure that there's clarity to you regarding discussion papers?
I think at the outset, it would be very useful if all the pairs clarify with us what method they'll be using, either traditional email or Google Sheets. And then based on that, we'll work with them to make sure we receive the copy by the 15th. I think it's easier if everyone clarifies what the modus operandi is.
Okay. So let's add that as an action item. Identify for Alice whether you are working via traditional email or Google Docs for your discussion papers. And for that, only the lead drafter needs to do that. Okay. Then does anyone have any questions or any other topics that they want to bring up? Any other questions or topics? So I have a quick question, Alice, that I'm not sure can be answered, but I know in Vienna it was announced that our can you re-announce the dates for Hyderabad for our
Yes. So the face-to-face meeting will be held on November 2nd and November 3rd. And in addition to that, we'll be scheduling an outreach session for the CTT to seek the feedback from the committee on their interim recommendations. And we're trying to schedule that as close as possible to your face-to-face meetings so that you you can leave Hyderabad within a reasonable time frame.
Okay. And I know some of the feedback that that at least our sub-team had discussed was a possibility for longer face-to-face meetings. Is that a possibility in Hyderabad, or is this already pretty much firm?
So the face-to-face meeting dates in Hyderabad are firm, but I believe Johnson's intent was to arrive in Hyderabad with some preliminary findings already. If I remember correctly, Waudo specifically asked in Vienna that these conclusions and preliminary findings be circulated to the different committees prior to Hyderabad, so they all actually
right,
have a chance
right.
to post to them. So I think the expectation is to arrive in Hyderabad with preliminary findings and interpret find those and you know translate those into recommendations and sort of confirm your findings and conclusions with the committee during the outreach session.
Gotcha. Okay. So maybe that is the longer face-to-face meeting is something that we can explore subsequent to Hyderabad. It sounds like we're going to have those 2 days coming in with findings and then an opportunity within the ICANN meeting to have this input from the community and then perhaps have some sort of time within that framework to discuss that feedback. I guess what I'm asking is, other than the feedback from community session, is there going to be another time for us to get together and process or not in Hyderabad?
So we'll try and schedule a debrief session during a, perhaps an afternoon or morning time slot for the group to reconvene and debrief on the input they've received throughout the outreach event.
Gotcha.
We'll make sure. In addition, you can always meet with your sub team informally as well. I'm sure we can look if there's a meeting space available for that.
Okay. Any questions? Any other business comments about any other topic?
Calvin here.
Calvin.
Yeah, while we're mentioning Hyderabad, this is more a logistical question, and I was wondering if anyone's actually tried applying for the Indian visa yet, because I seem to be heading towards an impasse where the plane tickets are necessary for the visa and the visa is necessary for the plane tickets.
I can tell you that I did not need a visa to get a flight reservation. Because I've done that already with ICANN Travel, and now I am going to apply for a visa.
Okay, so that's not the actual plane tickets, that's just a flight reservation then?
Right, I mean, yeah, they've made the reservation. I don't have, like, tickets in hand, but that's the usual process that I follow when I've been working with ICANN is that, you know, they will make the reservation and pay for that when the time comes.
I've got a reservation. It looks like that they want the tickets, but I'll submit it and see, and hopefully they'll accept the reservation.
Okay. So if you run into problems, Alice, who should Calvin be chatting with if he runs into problems with obtaining a visa?
So constituency travel, Joseph and Nicole will work for constituency travel are the best people to help Calvin on this.
Sure, I'll just do the usual, that's it, we'll see. Well, let's submit and first see if I'm going to have a problem. There's not brilliant problems.
Okay, so let's see how it goes, and then if you run into obstacles, reach out to Joseph and Nicole and ICANN Travel, and hopefully they will be able to shepherd us through any obstacles we may encounter.
Sure.
Okay. With that, any other questions? Any other questions or comments? Okay, then I will thank everyone for participating, and Alice, if you can recap the action items in an email to me, I will send around a summary email.
Yes, happy to, Laureen.
Great. Okay, thanks everyone. Have a good rest of your mornings, days, and evenings.
Thank you. Thanks, Laureen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.